Hey everybody, it's the Great Debates and it's Thanksgiving Day.
Oh, hell yeah.
Turkey Day.
And so for Thanksgiving, we thought we'd invite some special friends over to debate with us and to dine with us.
Yes.
We brought over Elizabeth Erickson, a practicing attorney.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Kevin Etten, a practicing comedy writer.
How is everyone? Happy Friendsgiving. Great to be here.
Now, the two of them are married. Is that right?
That's right. We are married.
And Kevin. We are married.
But may find themselves on opposite sides of the debating table.
That'd be fun.
Let's hope they came here married. Let's just hope they.
I mean, Elizabeth was a divorce attorney, so.
That is funny.
Maybe she'll give you a discount.
What?
Maybe she'll give you a discount.
Are you getting married, Steve? Oh, give me a discount.
When you divorce her, she'll give you a discount on her own services representing you in the divorce.
That would be a good way to get everything I want. That sounds like a good plan.
Well, I just want to say that like spending Thanksgiving with you guys and doing this debate, because we did decide to not spend it with our families.
That's correct.
Because the Great Debates is really important to us. So
it's beautiful.
We were going to fly to Minnesota to see our families, but we said they want us for Great Debates. It has to be Thanksgiving Day, so we're going to do it. We're doing this thing live. So awesome.
And we appreciate that. I mean, I feel like you want us to say like, oh, that was what a great gesture. But I also kind of feel like you did the right thing. So thank you, but also
we're getting paid.
You're welcome for being invited. Not everyone gets to be here on Thanksgiving, but we're happy to have you, I guess.
Kev, you're new here. You probably don't know that we usually jump right into it with a micro.
Go for it, man. This is your show. Okay. I'm here on Thanksgiving. I could be with Elizabeth's family, my family at this point, but I'm here. So whatever you want me to say or do, just go for it.
Dave, I know you want to give a shout out to the Needham Rockets playing football in Fenway Park today.
Sure.
Against Wellesley, supposedly the oldest high school football rivalry in the nation.
Yeah, oldest continuous high school football from what I understand. Yeah, Needham Rockets versus the Wellesley Raiders, and they're playing Fenway. Go Rockets.
The live feed is going to come on here.
Yeah.
We're going to watch it.
Yeah. It should be starting after up dinner. Any second now.
What are the keys to winning the game for Needham?
Oh, possession. You know, because I've been watching them closely this year, and they've had some key giveaways. And you got to just hold on to the football. And if they can do that, win the turnover battle.
Oh, you're playing Wellesley. You got to stop the run.
You got to stop the run. Yeah. Against the Raiders.
Time management. Such a huge
thing. Gosh, boy, that's just been a real Achilles heel for the Rockets either this year or in the past.
What are we doing? We need to jump into it.
Hey, guys, let's get into it with a micro debate. Okay, I've got a topic, and we're going to do a group debate here. We'll have everybody participate. Kevin and Steve will take a team, and Dave and Elizabeth will be a team. Kevin and Steve will take the pro. And the topic that we're going to debate for 3 minutes is the beach is fun.
Okay, Kev, I'm going to give you almost all of our time. I feel like I can win this debate right away, though, off the top. House sounds boring. Beach house sounds fun. Party, boring. Beach party sounds fun. The beach is fun. It pluses
everything.
Did you
just say party sounds boring?
Yeah.
All right.
Party. Do you want to go to a party at my boss's? Do you want to go to a beach party?
You want to go to an apartment party?
But you're
party?
Talking about things that are happening inside a house, not on the actual beach.
Such a great point. Yeah, a beach house isn't what makes the beach fun. Because nothing makes the beach fun. She's so right. Beach house is just a house that has a nice view. The beach itself isn't good.
You know what makes a beach party fun? Beach people.
Beach people are
because
fun.
Because who's cooler and funner and who's having more fun in their lives than beach people?
Yeah.
Beach people, here's... The philosophy of beach people is the best place in the world. The best place in the world is the beach, which in theory is true. They believe that. They want to be at the best place. They go to the best place. They are the happiest, funnest, most chill, cool ass barrages in the world. Healy, I know you're with me.
Yeah. Wait, ass barrages?
Cool ass barrages. Beach people love
cool
life. They love
Here's
life.
Here's another one. Bum. Sounds terrible. Beach bum. Yeah, get him over here.
No, don't get him over here. Those people are terrible. The beach happens to attract the scum of the earth, the grossest, hippiest, laziest people who you would never. I dare you to have to host six people in your home who spend more than 10 hours a day on the beach. Kevin, I dare you, and Elizabeth, I dare, who I know would never do this, I dare you to open your doors to that kind of people.
My doors are always open to beach bums, beach homeless people. That's why homeless people go to Santa Monica. That is why Santa Monica is overrun with homeless people, because it is the nicest, greatest place in the world.
Elizabeth, what is your problem with the beach?
My problem with the beach.
You wanted to fight this?
There's no temperature control.
Excellent.
There's the
point.
Water. You dip in the water.
No, because then you get out of the water and you have a temperature regulation problem again. There's exactly. nowhere to pee unless you go in the water, and that brings you back to the temperature regulation problem.
Great point.
Okay.
Those are my main issues with the beach.
Temperature regulation.
Yeah.
I'll add to that. The sand, it gets everywhere. The travel to and from the beach, unless you live right on the beach in your fancy beach house, Healy, it takes forever to get there. The parking, what a huge pain in the ass. It usually costs, in your beloved Santa Monica, it costs like $10
Whoa, I'm not vouching for Santa Monica. That's no, a bad
Kevin beach. Was, your partner was.
You're living
Kevin
in a bad
Kevin said
beach.
It was the greatest place on earth.
Why leave your house at all, Dave? Why go anywhere?
Well, I tend not to leave my house.
The temperature's comfortable. Let's just stay here.
Yeah, why don't we just not leave and not go anywhere? God, the... God!
You want to keep going, Kev? Want to throw it down for another minute?
God, I can't believe I'm spending Thanksgiving here. Okay. Next.
Well, Medina, what did you think?
Yeah, you know, I was kind of convinced by your opening statement, and I never really got off.
Are you kidding?
Thank you, Medina. Thanks, Medina's a beach guy.
He gets it. He gets it. Do you like the beach?
Beach people.
All I heard about what wasn't good about the beach is that there's nowhere to pee.
Yeah, the ocean is the
That's
world's
a big
biggest.
Deal.
The ocean.
We finally have a woman's perspective here, and you guys are just going to disregard everything she says? You crazy?
I mean, I'm saying that was a good reason, but it was the only one that was on.
No, I said sand.
I pee in the ocean all the time. Like, how many people at the beach, let's take Santa Monica beaches.
Okay.
How many people take poops in the ocean?
What?
Per day?
Per day.
Well, first of all, doesn't just the sewage of Los Angeles get
Well, yes. No, I mean, if it rains in Los Angeles, you basically can't go in the ocean because
just the sewers just are
sewers
running.
Are just taking
so
shit
that's
into
another
it.
Reason the beach is
but
not
I'm wondering
fun.
How
this is
how
a
many
very
people,
strong point for, against the beach.
I know, but how many people do you think pull down their pants and poop in the ocean?
I think very few.
Okay.
More than one, but very few.
I'll say three a day.
Three a day?
On a busy day, as high as 10.
And I don't care at all.
The ocean is so
I don't
so
care
fast.
About that at all. Yeah, exactly.
It can absorb so much poop. Fine.
Why would I care?
I mean, fish are shitting in the ocean all day long.
Shitting, dying,
There's
fucking.
There's all sorts of gross stuff going on in the ocean.
I mean, most animals that live in tide pools reproduce by ejaculating into the ocean and hoping their seed meets with eggs in the ocean.
It's kind of beautiful. I didn't know that. That's
a tide pool is a pool of jizz and piss and everything.
Pass the gravy. Thank you. Oh, boy, I tell you.
So it is Thanksgiving.
Glad our forefathers aren't...
You spend a lot of time at the beach, if I'm not mistaken.
I do.
Yeah, you're kind of like going in the water and riding on a board.
I am. I love it. Riding
Kevin,
giants.
Would you consider yourself water trash?
I'm aspiring water trash. Absolutely. I'd love to get there. I love the beach.
I've got a little bit of host chat that relates to the ocean.
Oh, well,
I don't know if anybody's
perfect.
Interested in that.
Very interested.
Okay, so we all know a man. His name is Matt Janisak. Let me just put that out there. He's a listener to the podcast, and I ran into him the other day.
Now, some people refer to him as Janice Slam.
Janice Slam is a nickname for him. About 5 years ago is the last time I saw this guy, and we had dinner, and he had a temp job working for these guys, scientists at USC, who were studying the microorganisms that live on the crust, where the Earth's crust at the bottom of the ocean kind of like opens up, and vents and stuff are down there, and the water temperature is like 900 degrees.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And in there, there are microorganisms, bugs, whatever you want to call them. And Janisak is saying, these guys, these scientists, believe this is a quarter of the biomass on Earth, is these weird creatures that are living in sort of like
Micro
underneath crust the crusts bugs. Of the crust bugs of the Earth.
Crust bugs.
I say it's the next frontier, right? We've explored space. We haven't even explored our oceans.
Yeah. It's the next frontier. I've never heard that.
But I was shocked by
would
this
you
news.
Want to live under the ocean?
Absolutely.
If you could?
Yes, I will.
It's awful warm down there, even for you.
I got to handle it.
Oh, when you get really...
So talk about temperature control, Elizabeth. I don't think you want to be down there.
No.
With the hot gases of the Earth's interior coming up. But I was... My mind was blown when I learned a quarter of the biomass of the Earth might be living down here.
I mean, you say might be. You can throw out any
Well,
fact
here's
you want.
The twist. Here's the twist. I ran into this guy yesterday. And I said, oh, hey, Jamsack, how's it going? What's up? He's like, hey, man, how's it going? And I was like,
Great. Talk to me. Are you still
working on these guys, the biomass? And are they still a quarter of the biomass on the Earth? And he's like, well, they looked into it a little more. It's only a sixth of the biomass.
Well, our math fans are going to love that story.
So they're walking it back a little bit.
I mean, it's a whole underground world that you guys have zero interest in. You two.
Who said I don't have interest in it?
We're passionate about it.
Yeah. What?
The ocean? You don't want to be a part of the ocean?
I think the ocean is
the ocean's
fantastic.
Great.
Well, you know what's a part of the ocean is the beach.
Well, that's a kind of a semantic argument.
I think the beach is just the funnest place.
Yeah, I like the beach. I'm sorry.
Can't
have a show called Great Debates. I had to take the con here. But
hey,
there are big problems with the beach.
It's Thanksgiving, and everybody's grateful for stuff. I thought I'd reach into the mailbag because we got a really nice email.
This guy
wrote us an email. His name is Nick Grundling. I think I'm pronouncing that right.
I know Nick, yeah.
He's from South Africa by way of Singapore. He's listening to the podcast on his gap year, and he wrote us an email saying, thank you for the great debates. I really appreciate it. And here's what he says. The sense of passion, intellectual curiosity, humor, and sportsmanship you guys bring to each debate is unparalleled. And I think it goes without saying that when I'm older, I can only hope to have a group of friends like you guys, Healy, Dave, Medina, and Mark. When he says in parens, even though we don't hear much from Mark, I imagine he's a good friend.
Yeah, our producer.
That's for sure.
And that's beautiful. You know, for our listeners, we are sitting around a table right now. We are all holding hands currently, and you can't see that. Yeah. But we do fully embrace the spirit of friendship and friendsgiving here. And that message really hits home with us, Nick. So thank you very much.
And
we
yet,
consider you a friend now.
And yet we don't hold back from spirited debate.
Wait, Keely, I have something for
host chat. Oh, yeah.
It's
Thanksgiving. We can have a little extra host chat.
Here's a joke, guys. Ready?
Oh, yeah.
Love jokes. What does Healy say when he goes into the hairdresser and he wants a haircut that was popular in the 1970s?
What?
I'm Steve Healy. I'll be taking the fro. Really? You guys laughed at that?
That's a great, great debates joke. Yeah.
Thank you.
You could be you know what? You could be the foremost greats debates
humorist?
Humorist, satirist around.
I hope so. Oh, boy. Well, that was something.
Medina's seething over here because he's like, you know what we're here for? Debate. Let's get a debate.
Okay, so Dave versus Elizabeth. Dave taking the pro. The topic is, given its druthers, your cat would eat your face.
Okay, so I'm going to open with a quick opening statement here. This is all a cat wants to do. A cat sits around all day, and it is just dreaming of the time when you finally are deceased so that it can tear into your face and eat it like so much tuna. A cat, you think it's your friend because it occasionally lets it pet you, and you have some sort of emotional bond with it, but all it wants, it doesn't see you as any sort of caregiver. It only sees you as a potential food source. They're cruel, they're nasty animals, and they're just waiting for you to die so that they can tear into your flesh and you will become another food source.
I think that a cat, my cat, would only eat my face out of absolute necessity. If I were dead, if the cat was all out of other food sources in the home, perhaps.
So you're admitting perhaps, that a cat would eat your face.
No, because the debate is given its druthers, that's a cat would eat your face. And my position is that the cat would only eat my face as an absolute last resort.
Okay.
My cat snuggles me all day long. I lie on the couch. You know, he's just curled up with me. Every night he brings me prey. Like, he goes and gets a stuffed animal and brings it back and drops it at my feet and is like, meow. And he's so proud of it, and I know it's because he cares about me deeply. and we have a really strong bond. And I would be happy to sacrifice my face to him if it would allow him to live a few more days. Right. But I know that it wouldn't be, you know, his preference.
You have to understand that there's nothing about your current situation that is. That is, what am I trying to say? If a cat had its druthers, nothing would be the way it is in your home. He's a victim of domesticity. He's a victim of this crazy thing where we've invited wild animals into our home. If a cat
well,
had
aren't
its
we
druthers,
all victims of domesticity? I mean,
I should say we are. I should say we are. But if I had my druthers, you know, I wouldn't be a victim of the real estate. How much it costs to buy houses? No, my point is that if a cat had its druthers, he wouldn't even be this subservient little thing that feels like, oh, I brought you this.
Well, but then he would be going
so
and eating rodents. He wouldn't be eating humans' faces. So in no event do you get back to the ultimate thing of the cat's goal being to eat your face.
But I think a cat actually sees you not just as indifferently, but actually as a foe. I think the cats are territorial. I think if they had their druthers again, they would have full control over your home. You wouldn't be there at all. And if they could, they would eat your face so that you would be dead and that the cats could have free... They would kill you and then invite all their cat friends over to your house and would further posit that you may... be suffering from the virus the cats give you that makes you
love cats. No, I actually got tested for the virus because I'm pregnant and that's a danger to fetuses. And so that's like a standard test that they do. And I do not have the cat virus. I do not. My love for cats is fully coming from a rational space in my brain.
Okay, just picture this situation. If a cat knew that it could live without impunity, if it knew that it could, that one day it could come home and somehow, if you had your hands tied behind your back, I think that it would at least test the waters. I mean, isn't that what a cat does every time it licks your face, every time it paws at your face? That's, I think, what it's doing.
Oh, it's like taste testing you?
It's testing the waters. And then eventually you're going to stroke it. And he's like, oh, the human is still alive. I can't eat its face yet. That's the only reason the cats approach human beings' faces to begin with, is because it's a potential food source for them. They want to eat it. They're not getting anything out of actually being like stroked or pet.
Well, no, you know, cats lick each other's faces because that's like the place that a cat can't groom. So when the cat licks your face, it's like grooming you as a sign of friendship.
I would say that if a cat had druthers, it would also eat other cats' faces. Cats are, you know what we're forgetting is that cats, lions, tigers, we were talking about this before, those are cats. Cats are naturally predatorial animals. They're vicious, horrible monsters.
Yeah, but lions don't eat other lions.
They do. I mean, they kill other lions at least. That's very common. Patricide, they do it all the time. They kill, not only do they kill other lions, but they kill the babies that other lions have had with mommy lions. Infanticide, they're awful. They're some of the worst creatures on earth, and you let them into your home? You think all these people want to do is groom your face? No, I say. If they had their druthers as if they were in the wild, they'd be tearing off your face and eating them. That's their Thanksgiving meal. Elizabeth's face, that's what they want to have. Pass the gravy, pour it on her face, because it's dinner time.
That was a strong finish.
I'm sorry. Very strong.
Medina, talk to us.
It's a case of empirical versus anecdotal, right?
I don't think Dave really provided any empirical support for...
That's what I'm saying. I think you have a lot of evidence on your side.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was relying a little more on the imagination, I admit.
I'm going to give this one to Elizabeth. Yeah. I mean, I think she pummeled you in a lot of ways.
She hit hard and hit home. I was going to say, I thought maybe Elizabeth was going to bring up that lion in Africa that like hugged this guy, came and visited it 30 years later.
I hate those. Those videos are such bullshit. Every time you see them, you're supposed to... people love it when animals mimic human behavior in any way. They lose their minds.
Yes, they love that.
It's so stupid.
Dave, are you sad about Cecil? Or are you like our lion enemy? Good riddance.
Well, no. I mean, of course I'm. I don't believe that you should go around shooting lions just because you're a rich dentist. But I also don't believe that like
dentists again.
I think that like I know. Like I think that like dolphins are super lucky that they have a smile plastered on their face, and for some, just humans just love them just because they kind of look like they're smiling. It's just a coincidence. It's just like, you know, all of these behaviors that animals have that are just them trying to eat or get shelter, they sometimes slightly look like human behaviors, and people go like, he's proud, he's sad, look at him, he's disappointed in me.
Wait, you don't think an animal can be sad or proud?
Well, I've come around on this a little, because I used to be staunchly against the idea that animals have emotions at all. But I have read up on the science of this, and the pendulum is swinging in the scientific community towards animals have more of an emotional response mechanism, or whatever you call it, have more emotions than we previously were led to believe. But I also think that animals benefit hugely from doing things that look like human things that are not actually the same emotions as human things. And they, do you know what I'm, you know what I'm talking about?
Is there any
right?
animal you think that makes jokes to make other animals laugh?
No. What are you talking about?
You don't think a dolphin
primates make jokes?
Yeah,
I assume that they do.
You assume? I mean, I'd love to see it. That'd be great. Do you think there's a chimp out there that's like the Larry the Cable Guy of chimps that's out there doing bits?
I think that's a very good, very apt analogy, yeah.
Well, guys, Larry the Cable Chimp.
I thought that was a fun one. Let's do another one. Let's do another debate. It's great. Thanksgiving. We've got time. Everybody's had their
turkey.
A time
of plenty.
And so we've got plenty of time to settle on the couch and listen to some debates. So maybe Healy and Kevin could face off.
At long last.
Old foes.
We meet.
And I've got a holiday topic.
Okay.
For you guys.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Healy, you're going to take the pro. Okay. The topic is Thanksgiving is one of the top 10 meals of the year.
I'm Steve Healy. I'm taking the pro. Look, the Thanksgiving food is one issue, and the Thanksgiving food is usually at a very high level because people are trying really hard. But a meal is so much more than just the content of the food. A meal is an experience, and Thanksgiving is people coming together, your family coming together, increasingly your friends coming together, and you get together and you begin the meal with a spirit of gratitude. And because of that, it really transcends all the other feasts or special meals you might have during the year. This is really one where you're sitting down with people you love and appreciating them, and then you think about the idea of being grateful, and then you have all this stuff we love, mashed potatoes, turkey, stuffing, stuff you only get to have that one time of the year, really. Like, there's not that much turkey and cranberry sauce, potatoes all mixed up together. Then there's pie and ice cream, and the kids are running around. Thanksgiving is one of the 10 best meals of the year.
Okay, hi, I'm Kevin Etten. I'm taking the, what do we say, anti?
Con.
The con. I'm taking the con. Okay, couple things. We live in Los Angeles. We live in the food capital of the world. You and I have 10 meals a year that are way better than anything. We have our friends there. We have Friday night dinners where we all sit around. The food is better. We eat the best food in the world. We have the same kind of camaraderie, the same spirit, the same gratitude. I've seen it 10 times. I could listen to you.
Hey,
to
that, you know, that's the kind of blessing.
Opening statements.
Yeah, we are blessed. So I'm talking about you and me here, buddy. I'm not talking about America. I'm talking about LA comedy writers. One percenters, baby. Here we go. Number two. We eat way too much on Thanksgiving. We drink way too much. We binge. It's disgusting. You feel horrible the next day. It's not what you want to do. It's not ideal. You feel shitty. Number three. Oh, we have to eat. We get to eat with our family and friends. No, not everyone wants to eat with our family. Okay. Hi, mom and hi, dad. Like, the rest of the time, we get to choose who we eat with. Thanksgiving, you're forced to eat with people you don't necessarily want to be with. You're not choosing. This is, for a lot of people, this is a very like forced, horrible activity. Number four, wow. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, the tradition of Thanksgiving, it's based on us coming here and taking over the New World, basically based on genocide, murdering Indians, taking over the New World. It's a comes from a horrible genocidal place. That's pretty much it for me.
Okay, let me demolish those points one by one.
First of all,
you jump back and forth between whether we're talking about everybody or just us one percenters. Sure. I think it's true for both groups. I think for most Americans, Thanksgiving is one of their best year. But let's just argue for a minute, just us. I love Thanksgiving, and
I only have to have it with my friends. Like you say, I'm here in LA. LA clears out. It's great. You can go to Whole Foods like the morning of Thanksgiving, get whatever you need. We have great produce and everything here. My friends all step up their game on making stuff. Sounds amazing. You know, Jeff makes a pie. Hillary makes a chocolate pie. Somebody else is, they read Mark Bittman. They're going to spatchcock the turkey for us. They're on the cutting edge.
Must be nice.
The cutting edge of innovation. And by the way, you're welcome. It's all just my friends. Why don't you come to our Thanksgiving? Now, you talked about binging.
Didn't get invited last year. Go
binging.
On.
And the binge situation, yeah, on Thanksgiving you eat too much and you drink too much, but that feeling of like lazy satiation after Thanksgiving is half alcoholism. The thrill of Thanksgiving, the shitty like, now I'm just gonna cool out on the couch, watch bad movies, see the specials, doze off for a little while, hug people excuse. As they go home. That's great. Also, the Pilgrims genocides, whoa. This is, we're going way too far down the like Howard Zinn road of American history. Thanksgiving is about the Pilgrims and the Indians getting together and sharing their stuff. Half the things we eat, the Indians were telling us about corn, and they had corn and maize.
Now, those are basically the same thing.
Corn, maize,
corn bread,
turkeys. These are their traditional foods that they were sharing with us. This is, Thanksgiving should be looked at as one of the few times in American history when the new guys, and by the way, no. more important now than ever, to take in mind the lessons that these new guys, the Pilgrims, are here. They're religious refugees from a war-torn land. They're coming here. The Indians are like, help, let us help you out. Let's have some turkey and whatnot. That's the kind of lesson we need to take from American history.
Right. They're people coming here to murder them, take over their lands, well, and systematically wipe them off the face of the earth. You talked about people bringing in food that is good. The food is horrendous compared to what we normally eat. It's five times worse than what we are accustomed to eating.
You know what,
maybe one person gets it right. Maybe somebody brings one thing. We've been to enough dinner parties together, or Thanksgiving parties, Christmas parties, where it's like, okay, that one thing is decent tasting compared to the amazing food we normally eat.
Wow. Man, that was great, guys.
That was good.
What'd you think, Medina?
I don't know. Nice. Let me tell you my take on Thanksgiving.
Please.
I'm not going to make a joke.
Love to hear it.
Okay.
It's not the best meal of the year because the food is better than other food.
Mm-hmm.
But by and large, everyone in the country is eating the same meal. And that is
harmony.
That's a huge tease.
Yes.
We're all getting together with our families and sitting down at the table to observe a tradition. And there, if that doesn't make you feel good in some way, I feel like you're checked out of the American experience.
Oh, I'm checked out of the American experience.
Well, there you go.
But I actually love turkey, man. I love Thanksgiving because I love a good cooked turkey. It's one of the few times you actually get to eat that.
When you have
with
a
some
good,
good
turkey.
Gravy. If the turkey's
so
not
good.
Too dry, don't dry it out, then I'm in, man. It's
I think
great.
We are making revolutions in how good turkey is.
Yes,
yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, don't be an idiot. Go for the dark meat. Everyone knows
Come
that.
On. Yeah, of course.
I mean,
but you can get a good breast, too, if you do it right.
You sure can. You sure can.
I have been cooking my turkey on a charcoal grill for the last 3 years, and it always comes out amazing.
And tonight's is amazing.
Yeah, you did. Not tonight.
I mean, this is different, obviously.
Yeah.
Last year, I did spatchcock my turkey, and I wondered, I kind of felt bad about it.
What does spatchcocking mean for those of us who don't read Mark Bittman?
Split the bird along the front,
like
on the back,
breastbone,
I guess.
Or, oh, the back.
And then you smash it and flatten it.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not in its rounded bodily shape, but it's all kind of flattened out, and then it cooks more evenly.
Like butterflied kind
of? Yeah,
it's like butterflying.
Yeah.
I mean, cooking a whole turkey and having all of it be cooked properly and taste okay is a very hard challenge.
Tricky, very tricky.
For the amateur cook that gets one chance a year to practice. Right.
Yeah, that's really the hard thing about cooking a turkey is you only do it once a year, so you don't practice. And there's so much pressure, and the timing has to be right.
Mm.
And it's poultry, so you got to get it to the right temperature, and you're worried about poisoning your guests.
Right. No one does it that well.
Holy cow. It's my favorite part of Thanksgiving are the 30 minutes before the meal when everyone is freaking out in the kitchen.
The chaos,
it's
the vibe.
Chaos, but it's going to come together. And then suddenly the stuff's on the table, and as we just experienced.
I'm starving. Absolutely.
Today. It was
great. No, it was so good.
Should we get down to dinner then?
Yeah. I thought we'd eat. You mean seconds, Healy?
Second Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Seconds left over.
Second
we could do the pies and cobblers now.
I'm up for it.
Should we go around and see what we're grateful for this year?
Sure.
I'm going to go first because I got the easy answer, which is I'm really grateful for you guys.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And my friends.
Medina kind of took mine. I was also going to say you guys. Had about a year of great debates at this time. Almost our 1 year anniversary. Quite grateful for how that came together.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
I'm just going to say I'm grateful for all the great food in Los Angeles so that I normally I have to eat this shitty turkey today, but so many, I have 20 meals a year that are just it's so amazing. Everything, sushi, Italian, you name it, we got it. And happy Thanksgiving.
I'm grateful for the internet and Netflix and my friends and family.
Thank God for the internet and Netflix.
Yeah, Netflix and chill, right?
Netflix and chill, sure.
I'm grateful for my cats, Henry and Marlo.
You should be grateful that they haven't eaten your face off yet.
Are they listening?
I'm going to make them listen, yeah.
They'll get it.
Well, guys, that was super fun, and we're really grateful that you tuned in to listen to us on Thanksgiving. Mm. And thanks to our guests, Kevin and Elizabeth.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Have a great Thanksgiving.